From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armand Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 9. God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry?" Anger is not always or necessarily sinful, but it has such a tendency to run wild that whenever it displays itself, we should be quick to question its character with this inquiry, "Doest thou well to be angry?" It may be that we can answer yes. Very frequently, anger is the madman's firebrand, but sometimes it is Elijah's fire from heaven. We do well when we are angry with sin, because of the wrong which it commits against our good and gracious God, or with ourselves because we remain so foolish after so much divine instruction, or with others when the sole cause of anger is the evil which they do. He who is not angry at transgression becomes a partaker in it. Sin is a loathsome and hateful thing, and no renewed heart can patiently endure it. God Himself is angry with the wicked every day, and it is written in His Word, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." Far more frequently it is to be feared that our anger is not commendable, or even justifiable, and then we must answer, "No." Why should we be fretful with children, passionate with servants, and wrathful with companions? Is such anger honorable to our Christian profession, or glorifying to God? Is it not the old evil heart seeking to gain dominion? And should we not resist it with all the might of our newborn nature? Many professors give way to temper as though it were useless to attempt resistance. But let the believer remember that he must be a conqueror in every point, or else he cannot be crowned. If we cannot control our tempers, what has grace done for us? Someone told Mr. J. that grace was often grafted on a crab stump. "Yes," said he, "but the fruit will not be crabs." We must not make natural infirmity an excuse for sin, but we must fly to the cross and pray the Lord to crucify our tempers and renew us in gentleness and meekness after His own image.
May our words
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he brings the final portion of a message entitled, A Gospel Church is a Church at Peace. In chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, the Apostle Paul emphasizes the importance of unity among the people of God. He stresses the necessity of having proper leadership in the church. In particular, he advocates a plurality of leaders, or elders, men of proven spiritual character selected from among the people to exercise oversight of the congregation. It is important that there be peace among the members of the church, that there be no division within the body. Finally, Christians are to be peacemakers in their interaction with the world. Now to conclude this message, here is Pastor Tamassian.
Secondly then, not only peace as it relates to the oversight of the church, but peace as it relates to others in the church. Paul then goes on to show that each member of the body has a responsibility towards others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, Paul writes there that there should be no schism in the body. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. They should have the same care one for another. That instead of bringing division and threatening the peace, they should have care one for another. And that's reflected in the passage we're looking at. Now, as it relates to others in the church, first, some will need to be warned to maintain peace. Some will need to be warned. Verse 14, and we exhort you, brethren, again, see that same language, exhortation, beseeching. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Warn them that are unruly. Unruly. Some will need to be warned to maintain peace. Now, with regard to the word unruly, Vine's Dictionary says it was especially a military term denoting not keeping rank, insubordinate, end quote. In other words, the Lord is guiding his church and these individuals are not in line. The general, the captain, whatever it might be, is leading in a certain way, giving instruction. And these individuals are not in line. You have the oversight of the body, as it were, giving instruction, leading the congregation, helping them, and you have those that are unruly. They won't get into line. They're insubordinate. They're showing a lack of willingness to be a part of the body, but are causing friction When I look at this, it's very easy to, when you read this text, and I must confess, in my own mind, this was where I first went. When I read verse 14, "We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly," my mind immediately went to thinking about those that I have known in the past who have reflected an unruly, insubordinate spirit. And thought that that's where my mind went. It's what I thought about. Those occasions come to your mind. You start thinking of anecdotal examples and experiences that you've had that relate to the text that you're reading. But as I looked at it more carefully, I want you to see what Paul's really driving at here is not for the church to look at the unruly and think about them and point out their faults, but actually what he is exhorting here is to the body of Christ and their responsibility towards those that are unruly. And the real sin, if you want to use that term, the real sin here is how the body of Christ at times can neglect to be in the warning business. There's always going to be someone that isn't falling into line. There's always going to be those occasions where someone doesn't see it exactly as others see it, as the oversight see it, as the majority of the congregation see it. That's always going to be there. And Paul's exhortation is not really towards the unruly in so much as it is towards those that are observing the unruly. Those individuals that come into your presence and bring contrarian views and perspectives, and what the text is saying is you're responsible to warn them you're being unruly. This is a duty for the entire body of Christ. When I realized that, my mind went to a particular occasion where I nearly kicked a Christian out of my home on one occasion. Not because I was trying to be rude, but because they were gossiping and I had given him several warnings. Stop it. Stop it. I don't want to hear it. And he kept on. And I almost threw him out of the house. This is warning when people are being unruly. It's not always easy to do, but it is part of how peace is maintained in the church. If the body of Christ does not take responsibility in those occasions that inevitably will arise, when it's not a collective effort to warn the unruly, what happens is that you create a platform for the unruly. They lead others astray, and it causes more schism in the body of Christ. Someone who first hears the word that contradicts or goes against something or is starting to cause disharmony in the church, someone who first hears that can nip it in the bud by a swift word of rebuke and a warning, a loving rebuke. You shouldn't be speaking that way. It is wrong. Scripture, so on and so forth, whatever it is, you can deal with it scripturally. And you can end it right there before any trouble starts. If you don't, if the collective body doesn't take responsibility, that person goes to one person, to another person. It can multiply as others imbibe the same ideology, the same feelings, and it spreads. And before you know it, the oversight can't do anything with it. The problem's already happened and occurred, and there's almost nothing that can be done. And so Paul's exhortation, you can see it, it's not to the elders, it's to brethren. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." This is a collective effort. Everyone should be involved in this kind of ministry. Some will need to be warned to maintain peace. They will need to be warned. Warn them that are unruly. Again, being gracious, careful with it, but the warning still needs to be sounded. Some will need to be comforted to maintain peace. They will need to be comforted. Comfort the feeble-minded. Here you have the despondent and the faint of heart. Those that feel like giving up. It's the experience that you have when you feel like your soul is like a flower without water. And such need to be comforted. They are wilting under the heat of the battle. And they're going through various trials, and it is pressing upon them, and such need to be comforted, not ignored. In fact, Paul's already done that, has he not? The end of chapter 4, those that were sorrowing, like those that have no hope, he said, "Look, we don't sorrow like that," verse 13. And he gives them encouragement in relation to those that have died before the return of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 18 of chapter 4, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." This exhortation is being lived out by Paul as he hears that there are those that are struggling in the body of Christ with a particular doctrinal matter and practical matter, and he teaches them and instructs them in order to comfort them. Comfort the feeble-minded. Comfort those that are wilting under the heat of the battle. Come with words of encouragement to their soul. Be that. The entire body is to be involved in this. You know someone like that? Reach out to them. Then some will need to be supported to maintain peace. Verse 14 again. Support the weak. Support the weak. I think this isn't spiritual weakness so much as it is physical weakness. Those that need extra help. And again, it can threaten the peace. You think of Acts chapter 6. You think of the widows, the Greek widows that were being overlooked, and that threatened the peace of the church. And there had to be the delegation of the deacons at that point in order to maintain peace within the church and address those that were, we could consider, weak within the body. All of these things maintain peace within the body of Christ. Warning the unruly, comforting the feeble-minded, supporting the weak. And then you have this exhortation at the end, be patient toward all. Again, men in italics, it's just be patient toward all within the church. Everyone in the church requires patience. It's not easy. You're going at times to be dealing with those that will be difficult to deal with, that will oppose your instruction, your help, not want it at all. And so it is absolutely necessary that we exercise patience towards one another. That we don't just flip whenever it's refused or rejected or we're sidelined or ignored. Be patient. Be patient toward all. Oh, what need there is for long suffering. See, patience is necessary because the body is never perfect. You wouldn't need patience if everything was perfect. If everything was perfect, there'd be perfect harmony. You're living perfectly, I'm living perfectly, we're all living perfectly, and we can all therefore appreciate the perfectness of everyone, and there's no need for patience. The problem is, that's not reality. You have your up days, your down days, days where you're discouraged, days where you're angry, upset, just like everyone else. And we can be hurtful, and we can be discouraging, and we can speak a word that we ought not to speak, or respond in ways that we ought not to respond. And so Paul drives this point home, be patient toward all. Be patient. Thirdly then, peace as it relates to everyone in the world, not just to the oversight and to others in the church, but as it relates to everyone in the world. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And he seems to broaden out here the desire to maintain peace beyond the body of Christ. That God's people should be a peaceable people even beyond the church. That it's not that we endeavor to maintain peace right here and then be contentious out there, but that peace that we are to strive and work for within the body, we then try to reflect within the world as well. Not to be upstarts, always causing trouble. And so we are encouraged here, see that none render evil for evil unto any. You will be out there in the world that will treat you in an evil fashion. You will meet people that will not be fair. You will deal with circumstances that will be very unjust. You will be called names. You will be ignored. You will be discarded. You will be overlooked. You may be the best person for the position, but because you're a Christian, you will be ignored for that position. You will experience what it is to feel that kind of hardship and the toxic spirit of the world. And Paul drives home, see that none render evil for evil unto any. Don't give tit for tat. This is not to be found in the body of Christ. This is not the way of the redeemed of the Lord. We have no need to do this. You go to Romans chapter 12, turn over there very quickly. as Paul brings us out in that portion from verse 17, Romans 12, verse 17. And very practical here as well. Romans 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Doesn't matter what's going on. Well, he did this, I'm going to do that. That is not the Christian faith expressed faithfully. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as life in you. Live peaceably with all men. In other words, you are to be the active force in trying to bring peace and sustain peace. Sometimes others will not fall into that. They refuse. If there's going to be a lack of peace, let it be on their side, not yours. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In other words, when we try to render evil for evil, we're getting involved in a work that doesn't belong to us. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that is what Paul is saying here as well. See that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. It's a soft answer that turns away wrath, and grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Peace. Peace in the body of Christ. Do we have it here? The right kind of peace? Has it been threatened at times? Certainly. Is it under threat presently? I trust not. We might as well forget all of our prayers for blessing if there is that contentious spirit within any of us. It will not be until we are all of one mind, truly sensing that we're on the same side, that we're pulling in the same direction, that we want nothing but the honor of Christ. And again, I could turn to so many passages. You think of Philippians, and again, peace, a threat there because of division, individuals arguing among themselves, not esteeming others highly, pride entering in, their own opinions being elevated above the whole needs of the church. It threatens. Peace is so fragile, and when it's gone, beloved, it's so hard to get back. It takes such time and labor. It takes such patience. And yet it's so precious, because that peace and that sense of harmony is fertile soil for really pulling together to serve Christ and see his blessing poured out. We sang Psalm 133, where brethren dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. This is the need in every age, maintaining, fighting for peace, that the work of God may go forward.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.